All right, give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you would. Amen. We're starting a new series last week. We're continuing it today called The Fruit of the Spirit. Say, Fruit of the Spirit. And if you've been in the church for a while, there's that concept we're all familiar with, the fruit of the Spirit. It starts with love, joy, peace, and we kind of dwindle off in what we remember, but it's in there. And the idea, if we're not careful, we'll do what the human tendency is to create these characteristics or character descriptions of the nature of Jesus or the qualities of life that God wants us to have. And we will try to reach toward those in our own selves. It's like the Romans 12:2 verse that we utilized in spiritual maturity last series. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And we found, just like in spiritual maturity or in salvation, you can act the part. You can fake it till you make it. But if you're just faking it, you haven't made it. And the problem with that is that you have the appearance of something, but not the substance of something. And when you just have the appearance of it, you find yourself in positions of trying to operate in it or have the responsibilities or titles that the church gives or do things, and all of a sudden you don't have the grace that comes along with the transformation. So someone can look saved, but doesn't mean they're saved. Someone can act like they're spiritually mature, but if there's not a transformation, it's the God factor in the growth. It's the God factor in the growth. There's something we need to do, but it can't be just us, because if it was just us, then all the qualities and the characteristics that God wants to develop in us, for Philippians tells us, it is God working in you, giving the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. If it was just us, then we need to develop ourselves to be self-help, self-discipline individuals, and then what's the difference between the church and the world? I'll tell you the difference is that we have a relationship with someone they don't, that's Jesus. We have access to something that they don't, that's the power of God. So this is not a matter of trying hard or trying long enough to get somewhere and all of a sudden you've developed yourself to have love. That if you go to enough counseling sessions, you've developed yourself to love people. And nothing wrong with counseling. In the midst of many counselors is wisdom, the Bible says. Sometimes we need a sounding board. Sometimes we need somebody who can say, well, have you thought of this perspective in that situation? But the reality is, for us to develop the fruit of the Spirit, it can't be based on just us trying harder, because that's conforming to the idea. You see that what the truth of something happens, we talked a bit about this, in the extremities of life. It's not during a church experience that you demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. It's at the extremes of life that you demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Those extremes are great opportunities and great problems or pressure. On those extremes, that's when you get to see who a person is. It's quiet. That's why you see maybe professional athletes, when they first sign that first contract, if they've lived in poverty their whole life and all of a sudden now they have more money than they can ever spend, and some go crazy. Or it might be movie stars or TV stars, and all of a sudden they signed a big contract, and now they got fame, and they got a lot of money and power, and they go crazy. Well, listen, they were crazy before. They just didn't have the money to do it. And when the opportunity came, and they could have anything they wanted, all of a sudden their true nature showed up. See, we can smile and say, praise God, hallelujah. Stump your toe, you know what I mean? Stump your toe, what happens? You know what I mean? What comes out? Someone talking against you, what comes out? It's the two extremes of life that you have to look at that will show you. Because when you're in those extremes, you might hold up a sign that, hey, I got it together and I look great and I'm a perfect Christian and I got all the fruit of the Spirit. Here's love and joy and peace. And you're holding those up. But when the pressure's on or the opportunities arise, you drop those things. And all of a sudden, the true you will come out. So this is not fake it till you make it. This is not imagine that you're... This is discover who you are in the carnal stuff, and let's see the transformation power of Jesus through the Word of God change you so that you, when you talk about love people, you truly love people. You truly love people. You love, you see somebody hurting and compassion comes out. And you think, why am I, what, someone might stop and say, why are you inconveniencing yourself? Why are you kind of putting yourself, you got places to be and things to do. Well, you don't have time to be helping. See, I could talk to you all day about witnessing. I could talk to you all day about reaching out to your neighbor and finding people that are hurting. I could talk to you all day about the good things you should do. And you might try them. We've all been there. We've all done it. And we try it until we forget and go to something else. But when the character is developed on the inside of you, you don't try it. It flows out of you. And what happens is instead of you holding up a sign that says that you have peace or joy or love, all of a sudden those things in those extremes of life hold you up. So they literally stabilize you in life, strengthen you in life, and demonstrate through life that you are who you've been saying to everybody you are, a child of God in the image of Jesus. Come on, somebody. So it's not, it is transforming the fruit of the Spirit in your life and not trying to conform to an idea. Because you just don't look in and say, love, 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 love. And now I just have love. Joy, 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 joy. And so we talked last week about learning this process and developing this process. And for whatever the reason, God chose to utilize the idea of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit actually means results. But the word that's used is fruit. If you tie something to a fruit, then you must be part or trying to explain the process. It's like a picture. If you see the picture, it's 1,000 words. Not saying that one, you could explain a whole depth of an understanding, the fruit of the Spirit. Well, if you understand anything about gardening or fruit or trees, you begin to mentally picture the whole idea here of that process. Because it starts with a seed. But the seed doesn't produce the fruit. The seed's got to be planted. Then you got to be watering that seed. You got to be preparing that ground. You have to get ready, and one day you have the plant or the tree. And over time, it develops into a fruit. It starts creating some fruit. It's not overnight. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if it was overnight? Man, we could walk you in, march you in that door, and you can march right out that door, and it would be like a totally cool system. You walk in hating everybody, and you walk right out loving everybody. You'd be totally, wouldn't that be cool? Man, if it was just a matter of us praying for you, I would stand here all day just as people, bam, 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 just praying for you. You mean people come in, no joy, getting joy, no love, getting love. You know what I mean? And it was just developing you immediately, spiritually mature to spiritually mature. That would be so stinking cool, but that's not the way it works. It's a process. You can experience those things. You can experience those in the service as the Holy Spirit touches you and His presence touches your life. Absolutely. But we're not talking about an experience. We're talking about the fruit. The fruit is when you don't feel anything and it's still rising up in you. Today I want to look at this concept because if you plant a seed, before you plant a seed, anybody who knows how to do a garden, and my daughter who's soon to be 7, I told last week how we were at Home Depot and Disney had figured out a way how to market a portable garden here for children. I said, man, these people are good. They know how to make money in Home Depot. I mean, who would have thought? And we took that little thing home. Logan wanted it. I bought it a few bucks, took it home, watered it, put it in the window. What happened? Nothing. I mean, I don't even know what we were trying to grow, to be honest with you. It's just little cups of dirt as far as I saw. couple plants or weeds grew out of a couple of them. You know, I mean, nothing major, and you don't know until the fruit, but all of a sudden it's like, okay, that didn't work. And when she wanted to do it again, thankfully her grandfather stepped up and said, hey, Logan, I'll do a garden with you outside if you want. And they this year created a little garden that took up the grass and put a little fence and started planting some tomato seeds, and she waters it every day. And you know what I mean? It's just a whole process, and the plants are coming up, and now we got little tomatoes that are starting to grow, not ready to eat yet, but she's still watering it. But before she could do that, she had to prepare the ground. The reason that's important, and we see this in Matthew 13, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, the parable about the sower sowing the word. The seed is the word of God. I can sow the seed of God's word into your heart today. But the result of having fruit develop is just not based on the seed, but based on the heart or the land being prepared. Because we saw one was just by the roadside. Birds ate it. One fell on rocky ground. Grew up fast. Pressure, because of the word came, dried up. One was sown amongst thorns. Started to come up. Thorns came up. Choked it. But one went into properly prepared ground and produced 30, 60, 100 fold. Your Heavenly Father not only wants you to produce the fruit, but the Bible says He wants you to produce fruit that remains.
That's right.
Just not a moment, but remains. Mm-hmm. Do you see this? Take it with you. It's better than a doggy bag at a good restaurant. It doesn't get cold. Take it with you. And so to bring that into our application, it's hard for me to talk about love and expect love to have a good opportunity to produce the fruit of love in your life if it's sown among thorns of hatred. If you're full of bigotry or hatred, how easy is it for love to grow? Not, because the moment it starts to grow, guess what's going to rise up? Hatred. You didn't hate anybody when you heard the message. Oh, you just loved everybody who heard the message about love. We did a whole series on love, and you just love, oh, that it's in the Bible, it says it. Oh, that's so, I'm going to do it. And the moment it starts developing your life, guess what rises up? Hatred. Somebody does something and you just, all of a sudden, that old feel you forgot about that was deep down rises up. Starts choking that love. Am I talking to anybody today? And you walk away saying, you know what? I don't need time for this love stuff. Peace, joy, whatever it might be. Why? Because we have to prepare the ground. We have to get our hearts ready so that what God is doing and wants to do in our life has a great opportunity to grow, to develop, and to bring forth the results of the Spirit of God in our lives so that we're not the same. Because if I'm the same today that I was 5 years ago, 1 year ago, something might be wrong, because we should all be growing. Turn your Bibles, if you have one today, to Galatians 5. If you don't, you can look at the screen. I encourage you to bring your Bible. That way you can look at it. You can write in your Bible. Yes, you can write in your Bible. God's not going to strike you dead for that. Write in your Bible. Circle things. Write notes. It will be a huge benefit to you in the future. It's amazing how you go back to be reading you're reading your Bible and come across a verse and like, oh, that's right. I remember that. Because we have a tendency to forget, do we not? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Before I read that, let me just begin with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, open our hearts. Prepare our hearts. Show us what we need to do to be receptive to your word, to change us, to bring us into the nature and the character of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. And Father, we thank you for everything you've done, everything you're doing, and everything you have plans on doing in our lives. We honor you. We look to you. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, New Living Translation. Let me read it out of this translation. It says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. I want you to see this next verse. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. We have two extremes working in complete opposite. Part of you, the old nature, wants to sin, disobey God. Part of you wants to obey God. Part of you wants to love. Part of you wants to hate. They're complete opposites. Paul says, I have to daily crucify my flesh. What was he saying? The carnal desires that try to rise up in me. This is something you'll deal with. This doesn't mean you're a bad person. Thought crosses your mind doesn't mean you're a bad person. I heard a person say, a minister many years ago, say, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. The reason I say that is because if we're not careful, the devil will condemn us to tell us, oh, that we just had the desire and now we're a bad person. The thought crossed your mind, you're a bad person. See, God is mad at you because that crossed your mind. You wanted to kill him. Well, just because it crossed your mind, just because the carnal nature wanted to rise up in you, doesn't mean that you're a bad person. You're going to be dealing with the flesh. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions, verse 18. But when, see, you're not free in your own ability, because you can look at that and say, well, then why should I even try to do good? Because I'm not free to do good. You're not free in your own ability to do good. The Bible says, what God has begun in the Spirit, why do you try to complete it in the flesh? You can't do this on your own ability. You cannot do this on your own ability. The moment you think, I got it covered, I have a handle on this, I can do it, I can say no to that, you're fooling yourself. Oh, I could go to that party because I won't fall out the wagon. I'm good now. I can say no. No, no, no. The moment you think that you're strong enough to say no is the moment you should tell yourself you're too weak. Because you can't do it on your own. 8:30 crowd, you're kind of quiet on me. So you're not free to carry out your own good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligations of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Just say amen. You get quiet, make me think you did this all weekend. Well, that fourth one, I didn't do that one this past weekend. Now, come on, somebody. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Okay, if you're taking notes, three things real quick. Three things. Number one, how do we uproot this garbage that's been planted in our lives? Sometimes it's a planting because of things that we've done. Sometimes it's a planting because of things we've been exposed to. Sometimes it's a planting because of the people we've been around. Say it again. Sometimes it's things have been planted because what we've done. Sometimes it's something's been planted in us because what we've it's been done to us. Sometimes it's been planted because of the people we're around. Proverbs says, corrupt friends or bad friends corrupt good morals. Don't tell me that you can hang out with anybody. You should reach out to the unsaved and unchurched. We need to have that connection to reach out and minister. But if all you do is hang around the wrong crowd, it's going to create some problems. Sometimes it's stuff we've done. And remember, the seeds of the fruit create desires. They're there to create desires, so you want to do it again. Because you can be forgiven of your sin, but now you have to deal with the desires, the stuff that you've implanted. How do we uproot those things? How do we deal with those bad desires? Because those can be in any form. They can be addictions. Well, I'm just going to try that drug once. Let me help you. That's stupid. They got drugs out now. You try it one time and you'll die. You just don't know when you die. You might die on the first time. You might die on the seventh time. You might die on the 15th time. They don't know when. You don't know when. But you keep doing it, you're going to die. That's just stupid. So it could be drugs. It could be, the gamut goes all over. It could be sexual sins. Proverbs says that a person that's immoral is being foolish because they're not only sinning against God, they're sinning against their own flesh. Why would it be sin against your own flesh? Because now you planted stuff in your own physical desires. You got to hear me. This is one of the hardest areas to deal with. Why? Because your own chemistry, your own natural desires at that point become your greatest, worst enemy. Soul ties. Wow, it's quiet. It must be something about soul ties. I don't know. Did you hear you put a pin drop on that one? Soul ties. Those emotional connections we get to people. You've been sexually active with somebody outside of marriage, even in marriage. It was created for marriage, but outside the boundaries of marriage. Oh, it's okay. I'll repent Sunday. You're fooling yourself. You're getting a soul tie. You can't figure out why you can't run away from Mr. Perfect, even though you know he's Mr. Loser. I'm telling you, soul tie. Soul tie. Why can't I get away from her? I think I got it, and she shows up, and everything changes. Soul ties. See, how do you produce the fruit of the Spirit, and you deal with stuff from your past that every time you try to do something good and it starts to change and your life becomes better, it gets choked out by the things of the past, the thorns of the past. What do you do when all of a sudden you can't even think straight because your own chemistry draws you to the wrong person, draws you to the wrong substance, draws you to the wrong activity, draws you to the wrong group? It's the stuff that the devil will use to try to imprison you. This is not a game. And I wish it was a quick prayer and it's over. You can be forgiven by God. 1 John 1:9. You pray, you repent, he can forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you still deal with the results. Soul ties, addictions, whatever it might be. So how do we uproot this garbage? Because at a certain point you want to give in and say, well, I'll either give in or you'll be miserable. That's not the design of your Heavenly Father. That's not the desire of your Heavenly Father. He has good things planned for each and every one of you. And he doesn't want you to fall short of his glory. He doesn't want you to fall short of his blessing. He doesn't want you to fall short of his plans for you. You can have hope for a better tomorrow. Your past does not have to dictate your tomorrow. How do we deal with this? Number one, if you're taking notes, we got to be like David who prayed a prayer. Lord, I'm like an open book. Search me. If you are not willing to open yourself up for God to search you out, that's a trick there, isn't it? Because the devil will say, oh, this is the painful area of you. Let God deal with that. And this is the fun thing that you're still having pleasure because there's pleasure in sin for a season. So we'll hold this over here. God, just deal with what I'm putting out there. As I'm hiding this stuff behind my back, God sees everything. You might as well say, God, I'm not ready to serve you. I'm not ready for you to be Lord. And I still want to sin. But there's some stuff I'm dealing with, the sting of sin. So can you take that away? At least you can hear yourself saying it. You know what I mean? If you want to have that, your heart prepared to receive, if you want the thorns of life's experience, those bad desires uprooted out of your life, you have to open yourself up to the Father. John 15 says that Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Any branch that my Father has not planted, he'll remove it. You have to open yourself up to the Heavenly Father. Lord, and there's no way for you to open yourself up truly to the presence of God unless you trust him. I mean, because if you don't trust him, it would be crazy to open yourself up. That's like laying on a surgical table and tell the surgeon, I trust you, just do whatever. Knock me out, and when you're there, just kind of have at it, do whatever you want. That would be foolish. But what I'm telling you, that's what you have to get before your Heavenly Father and say, Father God, I trust you so much that your desire is for my best interest, because there'll be times, especially in this area of addictions or soul ties, there'll be times that God will say, don't do it. And you will argue with yourself and say, God, are you just wanting me to be miserable? Don't you care? Don't you want me to be happy? And if you don't trust your Heavenly Father, you will turn your back on him and go down the path that truly is not going to make you happy. It will destroy you. Say, open up.
Open up.
So we just got to be real and transparent. Father God, I open my life to you. Search me. Father, if there's things that I shouldn't be doing, show me and I'll stop. If there's things I should be doing, show me and I'll start. Lord, if there's things that you want to remove from me, take it out. You don't even have to ask me, just remove it. Lord, if there's relationships that I shouldn't be a part of, show me and I'll obey you and I'll walk away from it. Lord, whatever, just you speak to me. I open myself up. That's a powerful. But if you're really saved, then you're purchased by the blood of Jesus. You belong to him anyway. If he's not only your Savior, but your Lord.
Amen.
Mm. Say, open up.
Open up.
Mm. Number two. Verse 24 again in that last passage. The very last verse. Verse 24 and 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them. There. They've done what? They have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them. There. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let me tell you, it's amazing when you understand the metaphor, the analogy, the example being used. Part of this process, learning to nail those desires to the cross. How do you do that? It's not a physical nail. What does that mean? And what you have to understand is that when Jesus went to the cross, he took sin upon himself. He became the substitute. He took our place. See, the ministry of Jesus is really twofold when he was on the earth. One was an example, and one was a substitution. Some things were to imitate in what Jesus did. Some things were to receive the benefit of what he did. So when he went to the cross for the sins of humanity, that wasn't part of the example. Jesus doesn't want you to go to the cross and have a bunch of Romans beat you with a cat of nine tails and put it, are you with me, to go through that process. He did it for us in our place. He became the substitute. So the power of sin is broken because of what he did. Catch this. We just have to make a connection to that power. See, the power of sin is broken by Jesus. He took all the sins of humanity, past, present, and future, upon himself and paid the price. And now the sting of death, grave, and hell, now the pain of sin has been broken. We just have to connect into that power. How? Listen to me. Because Jesus, when he went to hell, because the Bible says, and Jesus said it himself, that the Son of Man would be crucified, and just as Jonah went into the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man would go into the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. He went into hell. And when the devil saw Jesus come into hell, he saw something he had never saw before. Because from eternity of time of humanity to that point, everyone who had come to hell came out of disobedience to the Father. But for the very first time, he saw somebody who had come to hell, not out of disobedience, but out of obedience to the Father. Jesus went to the cross, not because he did something wrong. He went to the cross because it was the will of the Father, and he was obeying the will of the Father. That's where he said, you see me, you see the Father, because the words I speak, they're coming from the Father. The works that I do, it's the Father doing the works. He was in complete obedience and union with the Father. And so when he died on the cross, it was because it was the will of the Father to take our place. Are you listening to me? Lean a little. Just can you lean a little? Lean a little. Come on. Are you ready? And it hurt. We have so spiritualized it, we've lost the practical side. It hurt. Every time they beat him, it hurt. When they put the nails in, it hurt. But he did it out of the obedience of the Father for you. We believe in John 10:10 dynamic living. We believe that God wants you to be the best. But I'm here to tell you, when you begin to uproot stuff out of your life from the past, it's not always going to feel good. So how do we do this? We nail it to the cross. How do we access that power? Are you listening? Choosing to obey him, even when we don't understand it. If his word shows you to do something, he speaks to your heart to do something, stop spending time with that person. But Lord, I really like them. Stop spending time with that person. But Lord, I don't know if I want to. Wait a minute. If you want to have your heart prepared, it don't matter if you want to emotionally. It doesn't matter if it's convenient. It's a matter of obeying the will of the Father. He's quiet. Because a lot of Christians who call themselves Christians in the church world, you know what we would do? We obey the Father until it's inconvenient. We obey God into the place of our personal preference. And as long as God is asking us to do something we like to do, or as long as God's promising the things that we want and don't have, we're cool. But the moment he asks you to do something that's not totally cool with you, we rethink this whole thing, and we'll find a different church, we'll find a different religion, we'll just stop altogether. We won't get him out. Why? Because we don't want to do something that we don't want to do. It's quiet today. Number three. So we got to be open. We have to obey. See, James says that a person who doesn't obey the word of God is a person who sees the reflection in the mirror, goes away, and forgets what manner of person they are. See, the word's going to reveal to you who you are. The world will try to reveal you who they, telling you who the devil says you are. The word will tell you who God says you are. Last but not least, Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Verse 6, and the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. I want you to understand the power of what Jesus said. We've heard and memorized the verses that talk about speaking to a mountain. But this is not it's not talking about a mountain. It's talking about a tree. You know what a tree is? That's something that's been growing for a long time. A stronghold, if you will. And Jesus tells us that as children of God, we have authority, that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. There's power within the authority of who we are as children of God if we are in the place of obedience. See, they're connecting. That's why the centurion soldier said, I'm a man under authority and a man over authority. And I say to one to go, and he goes, another man come, and he comes. And Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith, because the man said, all you need to do is speak the word, Jesus, and my child will be healed. See, what we have to understand is there's being under the authority of God so we can be exercising the authority of God over our situation. People have abused it and try to manipulate it for their own benefit, and all they show is their own spiritual immaturity and character problems. Because when you obey God, when you're in complete obedience to God, you now have access for his authority and his power to flow through you to stuff that's below you, which means stuff that you have authority over. God doesn't give you authority to control somebody else's life. God gives you authority to bring his kingdom into your circumstances. We're out of time, so you got to listen quick. And the Lord said, if you had faith, so catch this whole concept of faith. Catch this whole authority, the keys of binding and loosing, the keys of walking in faith, the authority. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say into this sycamine tree. That's something that's not a little plant. You can go up to a weed in your garden and say, not today. And that's what we should if we want a good garden, right? It doesn't take much time. It just takes the observance that there's a little weed growing. Oh, not here. Uh-uh. But if you went out the next morning and saw a tree, get the truck, bumper fall off. You can wreck yourself trying to remove a tree. But you don't have to wreck yourself by trying to remove a tree, because you don't have to pull the tree. All you got to learn to do is speak to them. Speak to the, notice, and say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up, catch this, by the root. Just not what you see, but we're going after the stuff that you don't see so that your future is not a repeat. You don't need a sequel of a repeat of that past garbage. I'm talking to somebody today. So for a lack of time and opportunity to go through every facet that anybody could ever deal with, let's deal with soul ties as an example. So all of a sudden, you're just going through life. Everything's going good. And the devil never hits us when we're strong. He hits us when we're weak. Have you noticed that? Very angry, lonely, tired your whole time. And so we're going through life. Everything's great. You're going to church, serving God. Everything's going good. You go to work. And all of a sudden, you get the phone call from Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. And all of a sudden, things start changing on the inside. Because you know God told you, stay away from them. Bad news. But all of a sudden, in your weak moment, you're lonely, you're hurting, you're tired. And you're like, oh, should I answer? I shouldn't. Hello. And you're trying to say, don't call me back. And you're saying, I'm so glad you called. You're trying to say, I've forgotten you. And all you're saying, I can't quit thinking about you. And you're thinking, what am I saying? And all these emotions rise up. Or you're walking through your day and you don't even have to get a phone call. And all of a sudden you're like, you start thinking about them. Oh, I remember those. Those are some good days. Hey, 1 out of 100 were good. 99 were bad, but you never remember the bad. You remember the one day that was good. It's amazing how our human brain works. What do? You speak to it. Did you hear me? You speak to it. Are you listening to me? This is not just for single people. This is for married people that are still carrying a torch from the flame of an old relationship that they thought they should have. You got to speak to this devil. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I uproot that emotion. I uproot every feeling or emotion that I have for that person that is not of and from God in the name of Jesus. And I command it to be uprooted out of my life and planted somewhere else. Not in my garden, you're not, baby. I'm growing something good, and I got a future of a great. You have to speak to the sycamine tree and command it to be uprooted, because you have authority over that emotion. You have authority over those memories. You have authority over your feelings. You have authority over your decisions. Don't blame everybody else. You have authority, and you got to say, not in my garden. You speak to that thing, and in the name of Jesus, I uproot every feeling I have for that joker that it's not of and from God. And I command it to be uprooted out of my life. I'm telling you. And you'll have to do it again. And you'll have to do it again. Because the devil just doesn't say, oh, they've learned something. Let's leave them alone. The devil say, oh, they learned. Let's leave them alone for a little bit. We'll try to come back. And you do it again. But are you listening? Every time you do it, when the devil comes back, he comes back weaker and a little weaker. Weaker, a little weaker, and eventually non-existent. And you wonder, how in the world was I ever emotionally connected to that? For what you feed grows, what you starve weakens and dies. Give the Lord a hand clap for praise.